I drive zero RB in Dynasty. Pass up a young receiver? Nah, I couldn't be mean. My fifth wide receiver ran, it's only round seven. Not sure if I'm dead, cause I think this is heaven. Now forget what he said and listen to me. What you really wanna do is stack those RBs. You can be Linda, just let me be frank. Those RBs on your roster is money in the bank. One says it's awful, the other says it's great. It's time to buckle in for a dynasty debate.
Welcome in, episode 193 of the Dynasty Debates, the best kept secret in all Dynasty fantasy football. I am your humble host, as always, Evan Brown, the humblest host in the biz. You can catch me over on Twitter at FFEvanLucian. You can follow the show at Dynasty Debates, or you can even drop me an email, dynastydebates@gmail.com. Many ways to get in touch, get involved. Let me know what you love, what you hate, what you want to hear some more of on this show. Guys and gals, we have, I think, a first. Well, not really a first, but it's a first for this season. It is going to be a solo show, so it's not so much going to be a debate. I mean, I suppose I could debate with myself throughout the entire show. That could be entertaining, but unfortunately, I had an amazing guest lined up, and they had to cancel last minute. They're so popular, they had actually double booked themselves and didn't realize, so such is life. It does happen, even in the big leagues like Dynasty Debates, unfortunately. But I am still going to put out a show. I've got plenty of stuff I want to talk about, some thoughts I want to get out to you, and hopefully you still enjoy even a solo show with yours truly, the humblest host in the biz. As always, we are kicking it off with one of my absolute favorite segments done during the season, Hatchet Man of the Week.
An honorable Hatchet Man does not lie.
A Hatchet Man.
Right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Anyone can carry a hatchet, even a liar.
If you have listened to the show in season at all, you know Hatchet Man of the Week is a chance to just commiserate with your fellow dynasty managers who got absolutely bamboozled, shall we say, for lack of a better term, by a particular player. Now, unfortunately, there are usually kind of a list of players we could go for with the Hatchet Man of the Week. Hatchet Man just being someone who absolutely just destroyed you, whether in a good way or in a bad way. Because sometimes, as an example for this week, my Hatchet Man of the Week is actually somebody who did amazing. They did everything you could ever ask from your fantasy football player. They unfortunately did it on my bench. It is Mr. Devon A-Chain, you absolute hatchet man. I spent all offseason bigging up Devon A-Chain, talking about how excited I was, booing the naysayers who said he was too small and that he wouldn't be able to do what he did in college at the NFL level because of his size. I was so excited, and I threw him in my lineup in week two, and he had 10% of snaps. He had one rush attempt for 5 yards and absolutely sucked it up. So wise man that I am, of course, I benched him for week three. And what happened in week three, you might ask? Well, in week three, he had 18 rush attempts for 203 yards and four total touchdowns. I mean, it boggles my mind how this is even possible. I mean, he has literally done me dirty here. I don't know about you guys. I want to hear from somebody who actually did have the guts to start him, not because you were desperate, but because you actually believed in the breakout. He literally dropped 200 rushing yards and two touchdowns, as well as two receiving touchdowns in week three. And do you know what the irony is, right? I kid you not. I mean, this feels like, when this kind of stuff happens, it feels like you're living in a bad dream, or you're like, you know, living in just like a bad Hollywood B-list movie or something like that. But I literally played against the manager who had, you guessed it, the Tua and Raheem Mostert stack. And of course, he started both of his. I benched A-Chain. So Mostert's 47 points and Tua's 42 points rained down upon me whilst my My 65 points in this league, we have some funky scoring, you know, get some extra bonuses for long runs and things like that. 65 points Mr. Achane left on, I left on my bench with Mr. Achane, and I only lost the matchup by like 20 or 25 points. So as you can imagine, it would have been a resounding victory and it would have been glorious and I would have been 3-0 in that league. But such is life. Mr. Achane, congrats on being my hatchet man of the week. I'm going to move on, folks. I need to move on.
Spilling the tea.
This week is actually surprisingly fairly light on the injury news front, which I don't know. I mean, I love it. I'm here for it. I wish it was like this every single week. And we have a couple little things. Really, the main big injury was Mike Williams, which, you know, unfortunately, Mike Williams and injuries seem to go together pretty hand in hand at this stage in, you know, in his career. Unfortunately, this is a big one, though. He does seem to have a season-ending ACL, so that is a real bummer for Mike Williams and for the Chargers. So it looks like, you know, Joshua Palmer obviously going to get more run, and potentially they might be able to start getting a little bit more out of Quentin Johnston, their first-round pick. That's definitely something to monitor. But yeah, other than Mike Williams, the only other real injury, major injury that I'm aware of, and it was more major just in the sense of this might impact players that you start or you weren't, you know, players that were relying upon this person, was Mr. Derek Carr. He did get what looked a nasty, you know, just got dropped on his shoulder. It was a bit worrying, but we have heard that it's just an AC joint sprain at this stage. So it looks like it depends on how he recovers and what the swelling situation is like. But as far as we know at the moment, it should not be season ending. So it looks like it's going to be Mr. Famous Jameis taking the wheel for now for the Saints. I mean, man, we've had the Jameis Winston experience plenty of times. I think we know it can be crazy. It can be crazy. You might get some really good things. You might get some really bad things. I don't think it's a major bump down, or he's certainly not a bump up, I wouldn't say, for any of the weapons there in New Orleans. I think it's probably just status quo. I think if you have Jameis, you might be able to flip him, especially in a super flex league, to a desperate manager potentially, or maybe the Derek Carr manager. You know, you might be able to squeeze something out of that. So I would certainly do that if I was not contending, if I'm just sitting there and Jameis has been on my bench, you know, just sitting, chilling out, and I get a chance to, you know, depending on the situation. I mean, man, starting quarterbacks, they tend to go for a good bit in Superflex League, especially this time of year when everyone's desperate. If you can, you know, put your third and Jameis Winston together and get a second or something like that, I would be happy to do that. But yeah, that's my take on that. I think the biggest piece of news probably, I mean, you know, I think we're all probably in agreement here. The biggest piece of news was Taylor Swift being at the Kansas City Chiefs game and kind of officially, supposedly, seemingly coming out as, you know, in a relationship with Mr. Travis Kelce. So what an absolute king. Travis Kelce, well played, sir. You know, kudos to you. That is the power couple that we didn't know we needed. And I am super excited. I'm super here for it. So if it goes south, if it goes bad, I'm just really, really kind of excited to hear the breakup song that we all know is about Travis Kelce. I wonder if she's going to talk about like his tash or like something about, you know, it's just going to be crazy. I mean, hopefully not. Hopefully they don't break up. Hopefully it's a great relationship and they're super happy and they have amazing, you know, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce babies at some point. That'd be great. But I'm just saying, it could be juicy if it goes south, you know, it could be juicy. So I think that's kind of the main thing. Other than that, there's just lots of little bits, you know, like it looks like Jalen Waddle's back in practice. You know, a lot of these guys who've been out with like hamstring injuries, it looks like Christian Watson's trending in the right direction. Aaron Jones is trending in the right direction. You know, those are all positives. I believe Anthony Richardson is expected to be back at practice. I'm recording this on Wednesday. So yeah, it's looking good. A lot of those little injuries that, you know, were niggling or things that were just annoying more than anything, they look like they're coming around. They look like people are getting fit, getting back into the action. I believe Christian Watson and Aaron Jones should both be playing this week, which would be awesome. You'd love to see it. As much as I'm a Vikings fan, I mean, for fantasy, you love to see it. So yeah, that's pretty much the news and notes for this week. We're going to move on here to three things you should know.
Three things you should know.
Fight!
This segment, Three Things You Should Know, I'm really enjoying. It's a new segment I just brought in this season. And again, kind of the, you know, because it's a solo show, I've got a little bit more sort of freedom to just kind of go off on little rabbit trails and everything like that. But just a peek behind the curtain. So the reason this segment was brought in is, you know, first couple of seasons, this will be the third NFL season that I've been, you know, running the podcast. And I think the first two seasons, a lot of the weekly segments in season were probably similar to a lot of, you know, fantasy football shows. We were talking about start sits and we're talking about players that we want to, you know, what we're going to do with certain players this week, and really focused on the minutia of the week to week, which is great. And that is fine. But I was thinking about it over the summer and I thought, you know, ultimately there's a lot of fantasy football shows out there these days. And there's a lot of fantasy football shows that do that kind of content really, really well. So I don't know how much value I was bringing necessarily. I mean, obviously it's always good to hear other people's perspectives, and some of the guests I've had on are amazing and super, super bright. And it is great to hear their perspectives, but I'm just trying to give you a little bit more value, maybe something a little bit more unique flavor, that's more dynasty focused, because ultimately this is a dynasty fantasy football podcast. So while be it we do have our weekly start set decisions, obviously Mr. A-Chain being a great example of when that goes horribly, terribly, scarringly wrong, at the same time, you know, we want to take a bigger, longer term approach, look to things in dynasty, and things like, you know, your waiver wire is nowhere near as really deep. I mean, there's leagues where literally I had to put in waiver wire bids on like Robbie Chosen. Like Robbie Anderson is now Robbie Chosen. That blew my mind. I did not know that. So that was fun. But I mean, I literally am putting in waiver bids on these kind of players because you're just like, hey, I might as well do something with this vibe, but can't take it with me. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's not quite the same. It's not the same flavor as playing redraft. So in Dynasty, I thought, you know, this could be a really fun segment where each week me and my guest, this week just me, will be talking just about three kind of points that we want you to consider or just to think about for your dynasty squad. So it could be a stat that we find really interesting. It could be a storyline that we're tracking or that we've heard rumors of, or it could just be a bit of dynasty theory. So today I've actually got sort of kind of one of each, or certainly one of the dynasty theory points and a couple of just stats and things to think about. And I'll tie that in hopefully nicely for you. So my first thing I think you should know as a Dynasty Fantasy Football manager is we are heading into week 4 of the season. So it still feels, at least for me, and I think most people are probably the same, it still feels really early in the season, and it is in a lot of ways. You know, it's still, people are, you know, teams are still figuring out who they are. We're figuring out the contenders from the pretenders. Lots of kind of crazy upsets are still happening each week. Lots of results that we're not really sure if we'll see that same result in December versus now here in September. So a lot of stuff is still changing, but at the same time, the crazy thing is after this week, you're like a quarter of the way through the fantasy football season. Like, that's insane. And as a dynasty manager, you do need to be cognizant of that. You need to think about the fact that, okay, really, you know, each league is a microcosm of its own. Like, you know, we can talk about values and trades and who you should trade for and who you should trade away, and that's all good, and that is good things to talk about, and we do talk about that a lot. But at the same time, you know, you can say this person's a sell or this person's a buy all you want. If the people in your league don't want that player or do want that player, it doesn't really matter. So I say all that to say, this time of year, I think one of the biggest services that you can do yourself as a dynasty manager is to have a really long, hard look at your rosters. If you're only in one league, obviously you're one roster. If you're in, like me, and you're a proper degenerate and you're in multiple leagues, you know, you need to have a look at each roster. Really just have a look at it and be honest with yourself and just say, look, am I a contender this year? Am I a contender this year? Am I a pretender this year? Where am I right now? Am I 3-0, but those have been fluky wins, and, you know, the other people I was playing against just happen to have really bad injuries or have underperforming weeks? Am I 0-3, but man, I've been really unlucky. I benched Devon Achane last week, and I, you know, had so-and-so get injured in week 1, and this guy's about due back soon, and I'm sitting here on, you know what I mean? You just got to look at your roster, and you got to make some really honest decisions. And the reason you got to do that is your main competition is the, you know, 10, 11, you know, 14, whatever size league you're in, other managers in your league. And the sooner you can make that decision, the sooner you can start making moves to support the long-term success of your franchise. So for example, you know, say you have a really good long look at your roster and you talk about it, you think about it and you realize, you know what? I don't think I'm a contender this year. I've got some pieces. I'm in a decent place, but honestly, it would have to be the luckiest season of all time. Everything would have to break just my way for me to even really get to the playoffs. And then from there, you just never know what's going to happen. So if that's your situation and you're in a fairly active league, which hopefully a lot of you are, honestly, right now is a great time to be acquiring. We talked about this last week, I believe, and it's certainly still true. Right now is the best time to be making moves to be getting those, acquiring those future picks, those firsts, seconds, and also to be getting out from under your veteran players. So for example, let's talk about someone like Keenan Allen. So say you're in that position I just talked about. You got one or two young, good pieces. You got a couple of middling aged pieces and you're kind of like just, you're in the middle. You're in no man's land, right? You're not sure you're going to get the 101 or 102, but you're also not sure you're going to certainly make the playoffs. You're just in the middle of nowhere, right? That's the worst place to be in Dynasty. You either want to be a top three, like contender, like, hey, I'm a juggernaut. It's going to take something serious to derail me. Or you want to be like just getting rid of all your aged assets, reloading, restocking, loading up on future picks and ready to come back stronger next year. So if you're in that middle of the road and you've got Keenan Allen, right now, he has been absolutely killing it, destroying it with the Mike Williams injury as well. You can be out there absolutely like peddling, you know, Keenan Allen shares like nobody's business. You've got to be out there going to the guys who you think are the contenders and you've got to be selling that. You've got to be like, listen, Mike Williams is out. Keenan Allen is going to get like 43 targets a week. He's going to be the wide receiver one on the season. You could absolutely win a championship. And you know what? You don't need that first round pick for next year because you're going to win the championship and it's going to be like the 112. What do you need the 112 for? And then you give your Keenan Allen, and if you can get a first for him, you absolutely do that in that position I'm talking about. But if you can't get a first, which I understand a lot of managers are going to be pretty gun shy about, you know, shelling out a first round pick for Keenan Allen, even though he has been absolutely destroying it. But if you can give your, you know, Keenan Allen and something small. So I mean something small, like, you know, a Zach Moss or something like that, and get a first round pick. That's a win for you, because what that does is, and this is assuming obviously you still have your own picks, you all of a sudden are taking yourself out of the running this year even further. So you're going to start losing games, which is actually what you want to do because you want to be reloading for next year. Next year sounds like it's a really good draft class, especially if you're in a super flex league that's going to push some wide receivers and some running backs down the board into the late first, early second round. If you all of a sudden now you have two first round picks and you're losing, so your first pair could be a top three, top four pick. And then you're obviously, now you've got two first round picks. Then you can go and try and, you know, okay, I've got, what else do I have? Okay, I've got Joe Mixon. Well, Joe Mixon's one of the only healthy running backs left at the minute. So you know what I mean? You go out, you go and proactively approach the other managers. You see what kind of deals you can do. So that's one thing. I mean, again, and if you're a contender, if you look at your roster or some of your rosters and you say, actually, you know what, man, I'm in a really solid position. Like I really think I was really unlucky there. I'm 2-1. I have really good points for. I have a really solid core here. I've managed to avoid the injury bug so far. I like to always be aggressive in Dynasty. Whenever possible, I want to be winning. And I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole of mortgaging all of my future picks and all my future assets to try and win now, especially on things like running backs and stuff, because that's just such a risky bet. But having said that, again, we'll use Keenan Allen because, I mean, that's a great example. Is if I'm one of those top three, you know, contenders in this league, if the person who has Keenan Allen is middling or lower end and they'll give him to me for my second round pick, absolutely doing that 100%. If it only costs me my second and, again, some player that, you know, like a Donovan Peoples-Jones or something like that, so somebody who probably isn't cracking my lineup, but just the fact that he's young, I can like spin that and be like, oh, hey, you're getting younger, you know, and all that. It's just about, look, what did this other person need? What are they excited about? What kind of gets them going? They're obviously looking for picks. They're excited by picks. I'm obviously looking to win now. And you need to make up your mind where you're at and start making some aggressive moves. Because right now, again, you know, without belaboring the point, the fact is the first 4 to 6 weeks of the season, that is prime pick buying time, for lack of a better term. That's when you want to make hay while the sun shines, as they say. Right now, people are just not worried in the slightest about 24 picks. You know, most people are just in the thick of, they want their real NFL team to be doing better. They want their dynasty team to be doing better. They've got, you know, this idea that, man, you know, say they do have Raheem Mostert, right? And he just dropped 45 points on somebody. They're feeling like absolute kings or queens. They are just like, man, this is the year. Let's go for it. Let's do this thing. You just got to take advantage of that hype and just really start making some moves. But you need to be really real. Another little tip, just as I finish that point off. If you're really struggling to be honest with yourself, because honestly, some people really struggle to be genuine and honest with their own rosters. That's one thing I've noticed when people ask advice and stuff, they'll slip in my DM sometimes and say, hey, well, here's my roster. What do you think of this trade? Or what do you think of that? And, you know, I'm like, man, they obviously think they're a contender and they clearly do not know that this is not a good roster. If you're struggling with that, like, for example, you know, one of the tools you can use, I do some writing. I'm affiliated with Dynasty Nerds. I do some writing for them. This podcast is just an independent podcast that I do myself, but I do work with Dynasty Nerds. Really, really, you know, great organization, great company with loads of like content creators, loads of information, loads of resources for dynasty players. You can go on, they have an app now. If you sign up and you have a membership, they have like a tool where they'll literally rate your team, your, you know, for you. It's awesome. Like you can give them your sleeper handle. They will pull all your information and they'll rate your team. They'll be like, okay, you're as far as we're concerned, you're maybe number 7 out of 12. And it'll help just give you that reality check of like, okay, wow, I thought I was a top three. I'm actually like bottom third here. Maybe I need to make some different moves. And if you don't have, or you don't want to pay for something like that, it's not very expensive, but if you don't want to pay any money and you want to do it for free, just get a friend who plays Dynasty Fantasy Football, probably a friend who's not in your league if you have any. But yeah, just give them your roster and ask the genuine, honest truth. Just say, what do you think of this roster? Let them be real with you and say, look, honestly, I think it's a great roster. I think you make one or two moves and you'd be a real contender. Or man, you got a lot of holes to fill, buddy. I think you need to reload for the future. So that's all I'm going to say. I know that was a long-winded sort of point, but it is something that, you know, I really think hopefully brings value to you guys as listeners, is that kind of like dynasty theory where it's not just redraft talk and it's not just like stats and stuff like that. It's actually kind of, how do you put this all together? How do you make an actual dynasty? How do you build a dynasty where you're actually winning or contending to win every year? And that's what we want to do. So my second point is Wan'Dale Robinson. So Wan'Dale Robinson is just coming back from a serious injury last year. They've been really cautious, kind of easing him back in. Last week was his first action of the season. He only played 22% of the snaps in his first game back. So a really small sort of snap share, really just being eased back in. I mean, he played less snaps than pretty much any of the other wide receivers in the Giants team in their sort of wide receiver core. But yet, even though he only played 22% of snaps, he still had 5 targets, which, you know, now let's be honest, let's be clear here. The reason I'm bringing this up is a couple of things. One, it's easy. I mean, okay, I'll get into that in a minute. Let me just go back. So he got 5 targets on 22% of snaps. Paris Campbell played a lot more snaps. He had 6 targets. Darius Slayton played a lot more snaps. He had 6 targets. You know what I mean? Darren Waller had the most targets. He only had 7 targets. So he did get more targets than Daniel Bellinger, Matt Breida, Isaiah Hodgins. You know, he had more targets than quite a few of the players on the roster. And the guys who got more than him, they played a lot more snaps. They've been there all season and they only got like 1 or 2 more targets than him. And we knew from last year when he was healthy, he was really coming into his own as a rookie. He had a really nice connection with Daniel Jones. So the reason I'm bringing that up is the Giants have looked really bad for like most of the season. Okay. They had that 2 quarters where they looked great against the Arizona Cardinals, but they looked really bad against the 49ers. They looked really bad in week 1. I think in general, people are pretty down on the Giants. And the reason I'm bringing this up is right now, this time of year, you know, if you want to go out and acquire a Puka Nacua, you're going to have to pay a first. Probably maybe more. People are that hyped and that excited about what they've seen. Same with a lot of these other players that people are obviously a Devon Achane. I mean, after last week, you're good luck trying to get him for anything less than a first, maybe more. So I think people are, you know, what have you done for me lately? People are excited by the big shiny new toy. Everyone can see, everyone can get excited about Puka Nacua. Everyone can get excited about Devon Achane because they're seeing it right now. What you have to do in Dynasty is you have to be good at basically learning to kind of You've got to take some risks. Now, they have to be calculated risks, obviously. You don't want to go and be like, here's my first and something else for Wandale Robinson. But the point is, you need to be finding players like Wandale Robinson who haven't done it just yet, are just emerging, or people are a little bit scared of the offense, things like that. And you can get a deal on them. You can get a discount for what they could potentially be. Then when they do turn out to be more than that, you make a nice tidy profit, or you just have a really great player for your roster. And if they don't turn out, then you didn't risk too much. You know what I mean? You didn't risk too much to get into that investment. So therefore, you're not completely screwed. So again, like I said, he only played 22% of the snaps. You know, Paris Campbell played 42% of the snaps. So he played double the snaps as him, but he only had one more target. You know, Daniel Bellinger played 60% of the snaps. So three times many snaps as him, and he only had one target. You know, Isaiah Hodgins played 66% of the snaps. You know, Matt Breida played 82%. Darren Waller played 82%. Darius Slayton played 84%. So you get the picture. These guys were playing substantially more snaps, but yet he was getting targeted when he was on the field, when he was running routes. And I think that's a sign of things to come. I think Daniel Jones really clearly had a nice rapport with him. Wandale Robinson, again, just like kind of a peek into my brain, scary as that sounds, is, you know, with Tank Dell. I loved Tank Dell, and he's blowing up at the minute. He looks amazing. When I was doing the pre-draft evaluation and I was talking about Tank Dell, I said, look, people are really freaked out about his size and his you know, how small he is and things, and they're going to say, I don't know if that'll work in the NFL. My comp for him was Wandale Robinson. I was like, I think he could, if anybody's going to be this year's Wandale Robinson, it could be Tank Dell. You know, this small guy who just makes people look foolish, makes people miss, can do stuff all over the field. So again, that's my point. Is my second thing I think you should know is Wandale's on the way back. They really could use him. You can see that clearly. They need playmakers. He is an exciting, fun guy who people have forgot about because of the injury. And even though, you know, and again, if your league mate who has Wandale Robinson is just sort of box score scouting, they're just like, you know, it wasn't anything great. It wasn't, you know, the Giants got absolutely just smoked, which isn't that surprising considering who they played. I mean, the 49ers look amazing, but you know, you just look at the box score. If they're just box score scouting and they're just like, yeah, this guy's finally back, so what? He gets four receptions for 21 yards. Ugh. But that's where you can go in, swoop in, and get yourself a deal. Like, you can literally probably right now, you can probably do something like give up Tutu Atwell and get Wandale Robinson and a third, or Wandale Robinson and something else. So I think, you know, those kind of deals, you know, those kind of deals are where you can easily, you can capitalize on the hype, get something else that could be really equal, maybe even greater value, but also get icing on the cake, get a third, get a second if you can get it, or, you know, get Tutu Atwell and give Tutu Atwell, get, you know, your Wandale Robinson and another player that you're interested in, a prospect that you think is really, really worth, you know, your time, worth stashing and seeing what happens. That's my second thing. So my third thing I think you should know is Michael Pittman Jr. is actually having a really nice season so far. It's going under the radar, but he has a 31% target share. Like, that's pretty serious target share. And he's getting 48% of targets per route run. That's pretty nice. Like, that's on par with, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who everybody loves, everybody's obsessed with, everybody, and rightfully so. Like, I'm not, this is no shade on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think Amon-Ra is amazing. But I think people have been really freaked out and scared off of Michael Pittman Jr., and they've really backed off him kind of big time. And I don't think they should. I think he's a talented player. He's a guy that, you know, obviously Shane Steichen likes, and he's making room for, and he's making, you know, he's making up plays for, he's getting involved. And it's not just because, you know, oh, well, last week maybe he had a massive target share because of Gardner Minshew. He actually had a slight, ever so slight dip down in his target share when Gardner was in week three versus Anthony Richardson. So I think, you know, again, this is the same sort of thing. This is a bigger scale. So obviously nobody's as out on Michael Pittman Jr. as they are probably on Wandale Robinson, but the point still stands. These are the kind of players that at the moment you can go in and try and get a deflated price on, because you can, and you can spin the narrative if you need to. You can be like, oh man, you know, whew, that Colts offense, you know, Anthony Richardson's beat up. We just don't know what's going to happen, man. It's pretty crazy. It's probably going to be a low passing volume. Oh, I mean, you know, that guy, you know, Zach Moss, he looks great. And, you know, and all these kind of things. And you can just see what kind of price you can get for Michael Pittman Jr., you know, in your league potentially as somebody who, if you're not wanting to go down the route of like getting a Keenan Allen, somebody who's, you know, definitely a veteran, definitely age. You don't know how many years left. Michael Pittman Jr. is still young. You're still hopeful that he's got his best years ahead of him. And if Anthony Richardson does manage to stop getting beat up every game and does manage to continue to develop under Shaden Steichen, who we really like, I mean, a lot of people really like, you know, in the dynasty community, a lot of people in just the football community have high thoughts of him. That could be a real steal. Like, that could be somebody that you can really acquire at wide receiver, you know, low wide receiver two, wide receiver three cost, which could potentially be high wide receiver two, low end wide receiver one numbers eventually if he continues to develop. Now, is that a guarantee that he will? No, of course not. But he's somebody that has proven to be a guy who can demand targets. He's a guy who can, you know, do some really good things for your fantasy team. He's somebody who's talented. He has some nice underlying metrics and statistics. So again, that's somebody else. Those are the kind of things that I think you should be thinking about right now, this time of season, having a look at your roster, deciding where you're at, deciding how you're going to attack this next week or two when trades hopefully are thick and fast, or at least you can get some, you can drum up some interest in the trade market. And then look for those kind of guys, those Wandale Robinsons, those Michael Pittman Juniors who are a little bit flying under the radar because maybe there's some Puka Nacuas and, you know, there's these Justin Jeffersons out here who are just absolutely smashing. You know, Tank Dell all of a sudden really has broke onto the scene. You know, everyone's super hyped and excited about that. But if you just go after those players, A, you're only going to be able to pay, you're going to have to pay top dollar, and you're only ever going to be able to get like one deal done because you're not going to be able to afford to get any more deals done. And ultimately in Dynasty, you know, yes, I understand the argument and I get it. And I've said it myself at times where, you know, a lot of times you want to be on the side of the deal where you get the best asset in the deal. But if it's one of those where you get a really good asset on one side, but like three or four kind of just one tier down assets on the other side, I kind of sometimes like that side, especially if you're in those bigger leagues. And I'll actually kind of leads me in nicely to our next segment here, where I'm going to talk about some trades here, because I think, again, it is something really important. Dynasty and trading go hand in hand, and you have to be good at trading or get better at trading if you want to have a real dynasty long term.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
So we are talking trade targets. I'm actually going to even talk about an actual trade that I did in one of my leagues. I haven't really done that much this year of talking about my trades. I've tried to just talk about people that you can trade for or you can trade away, but, you know, because I don't want to just talk about trades I'm doing. I think they're good, but at the same time, obviously, I just want to give you guys ideas, things, people that I will be looking at or going after or trying to get out from under. For me, I've already mentioned him once, and it is Tank Dell. And the reason that I kind of mentioned him, it is probably a little bit harder now that he had another good week. But I think that, you know, one thing I've noticed in Dynasty is, you know, again, each league is a microcosm of its own. So you can't just say, well, everyone overvalues Tank Dell, because it's not necessarily true. Another thing that I've really, really noticed in Dynasty over the years is that if we have a preconceived notion, especially one that's formed in the offseason, it takes a long time for us as Dynasty players to shake that a lot of times. That's one thing I'm trying proactively to get better at, is not holding on to those preconceived notions or those kind of off-season vibes that I get hold of, or off-season kind of takes that we all grasp hold of firmly. You know, think back to a couple of years ago, and it's easy to joke about and, you know, kind of take the piss out of now, but Gabe Davis, you know, literally not, it was like what, two off-seasons ago, it was the off-season right after he had his big massive four touchdown game in the playoffs, prime time, you know, the only game going, and everybody just spent the next 6 months talking about Gabe Davis, and people were so convinced that, you know, he was going to be the next big thing, that you could easily trade away your Gabe Davis for a first plus in a lot of senses. And, you know, a lot of people did that, and a lot of people bought into it. And, you know, there was some naysayers, and there was some, you know, I personally never bought into the Gabe Davis, but it's not that I'm perfect. I mean, I've certainly made my own mistakes, my own swings and misses for sure. There's definitely players that I've been really high on that didn't work out. I mean, I was really big into LaVisca Chenault. So, you know, I'm certainly not disparaging anyone over Gabe Davis, but the point remains that, you know, a lot of people were really skeptical of Tank Dell because they thought the Texans were going to suck big time. They thought that he was too small to be an impact player in the NFL. So I think that Tank Dell, even though he's had a couple good weeks, you might say, there's just no point in like going after him right now. But you never know. I would just go and test test the waters, see what's happening. And the reason, I mean, I'll bring up, like, the trade I'm going to talk about is actually a trade that involves Tank Dell, funny enough. And I wanted to bring it up because I like to bring up trades that are different, you know, trades that aren't just the status quo or something that, like, oh yeah, well, anybody would do that deal or whatever. This is a trade that I did. So it came into my inbox, a trade I countered. This is right as, like, really, this is right as kind of the week was getting started. I think we did this trade actually right after the first set of games had started. So I had kind of countered. So it's a trade in, it's a 10 team league. I'm not in a lot of 10 team leagues. I'm in like two, maybe three, I think. I'm mostly in 12 team and a couple 14 or 16 team leagues. I prefer sort of bigger leagues, but this 10 team league is a league that I've been in for quite a while. It's one of my oldest leagues now at this stage. And, you know, I do have an absolute, so I want to set the context. This is a league where it's a 10 team league. And this is a league where I'm pretty dominant. And like, I think I've won 3 years in a row. I've got a really stacked roster, and I did have not a lot of running backs, and I had some injuries at running back. So I was sort of thinking, okay, and I was weighing up. So long story short, I traded away. What the final deal ended up being was I traded away T. Higgins, John Mechie, Chig Okonkwo, Evan Hull, and a 2025 second. Okay, it's a lot of assets. I kind of did this. I thought it was kind of fun. I don't do a lot of trades where there's like loads of pieces. Usually it's like a 2-for-1 or like 2-and-2, that sort of a trade. But this is like kind of a fun trade. And I got back Marquise Hollywood Brown, Tony Pollard, Tank Dell, Zach Charbonnet, and a 2024 third. So breaking that down a little bit, I think a lot of people, to be honest with you, will probably go, I'll take the T. Higgins side, hands down. You know, I'll take the T. Higgins side. Now, the reason I actually brought this trade up and the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think context matters. And it goes back to what I was saying about your each league is a microcosm and each situation, you know, I don't know if some dynasty, you know, content creators maybe don't want to talk about this as much or they don't put as much emphasis on it. But the reality is like each trade, each league is its own beast. And so for me, the reasons I did this trade in this league, I've already talked about, I was absolutely stacked. So in this league, I actually had and still have, I have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, as well as T. Higgins. So for me, you know, even when they're doing well, it's like you don't necessarily want to or need to be starting Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins all the time. So that's one element of it. Another element was there wasn't actually a lot of trading going on this year in this league. Even though the season has started, very few trades have been going on, and I'm trying to kind of get things going. One of the ways that you can kind of get trades going and get things moving is by taking a supposed loss, quote unquote, in your trade. Now, I don't mean be stupid. I don't mean go out and, you know, trade away T. Higgins for just a random third round pick, something dumb that's going to really hurt your team. But my team in this league is, you know, genuinely, and I'm not being, you know, I'm not just like, I'll be honest with you. I'm telling you, my roster, for example, is, you know, I've got Patrick Mahomes, a one QB league. This is, like I said, one of my older leagues. It's not super flex. So I've got, you know, Patrick Mahomes as my starting quarterback. I've got Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford as backup quarterbacks. You know, I've got, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, AJ Brown, Garrett Wilson, Devonta Adams, Keenan Allen, you know, who's on my bench here? Even I've got DeAndre Hopkins on my bench. I've got, you know, Jalen Waddle on my bench. Like, this is, again, it is a 10 team league. So that you're bent, you know, in general, people's teams are a little bit stronger, but even still, I've got Travis Kelce as my tight end. You know, I've got, I just lost, unfortunately, because of injury. You know, I just lost Nick Chubb. You know, I've got Jameson Williams sitting, chilling, waiting to come in. I've got, you know, again, just to give you an idea, like, this is the kind of team that this is. You know, this is a team where, not that I don't need T. Higgins. I've started T. Higgins plenty. I love T. Higgins. I'm a big T. Higgins fan, but I've already got Ja'Marr Chase as well. I had just lost Nick Chubb. You know, I was rolling out Kenneth Walker and just making other things. I had Jerome Ford. You know, he looks like he's going to be good. But again, this is like, okay, I've got Tony Pollard now, so I can roll him out. He's getting a big workload this year. I've got Zach Charbonnet, which in Dynasty with deep benches and stuff, I'm totally fine sort of handcuffing my running backs if I think that the other running back is good. And I like Charbonnet. I think he's a quality running back. I think if anything happens to Kenneth Walker, you know, he'll be a really nice asset to be able to plug in. And honestly, you know, I only gave up T. Higgins. Like, that's the only really valuable asset that I gave up in that deal, in my opinion. You know, the other manager obviously really, really rates T. Higgins, which is understandable. Like, I love T. Higgins, but, you know, I lost John Mechie, but I gained Tank Dell. I love Tank Dell. I was excited to get another share of Tank Dell. I lost Chig Okonkwo, but like I said, I've already got, you know, I've got Travis Kelce. When am I ever going to start Chig Okonkwo over Travis Kelce? And I've also got, you know, Pat Freiermuth, and I think I have another tight end somewhere as well. You know, I give away my second, but it's in 2025. So I've got 2 years to recoup that second round pick. And that's another thing I like to try and do, is if you are in a position where you have to trade away a pick, if you can trade a pick from 2 years away and get a pick from next year, it's just, it's kind of one of those things where, like, in real NFL, sometimes they'll push the salary cap out further and further and further. Now, sometimes it does come back to bite you, but again, in this league, I've built up so much. You know, I mean, I've won this league, like I said, 3 years in a row. I've got such a stacked roster. You know, I would have to really mismanage it or really be stupid over the next couple of years for that 2025 second to be a high second. And like I said, I've got 2 years to get that pick back or to kind of recoup other picks. So that's kind of, I wanted to talk about that trade because, like I said, for me, Hollywood Brown is underrated. He's undervalued for what he is. He's still fairly young. He still provides a really nice flex start option. Tony Pollard, really nice option for me at running back. Tank Dell, another young guy that I'm really excited about. Zach Charbonnet, really good, solid pick. And a third round pick. I mean, that's just something that I wanted to get thrown in because, again, I like acquiring thirds and even fourths if I need to. Like, if I'm already happy with the deal and I don't need the third or the fourth, I try and get one thrown in anyways. Because, man, when you can turn around and throw in three third round picks onto a deal you really want to get done, it does sway people. So, again, that's one of the trades that's talking about Tank Dell. I do think he's somebody that is acquirable, especially if you're going on a bigger deal. If you'd be like, okay, well, oh man, I don't know. Okay, well, look, tell you what, you throw in Tank Dell, we'll call it a deal. So my other guy is actually Elijah Moore. So if you guys have listened to the pod for a while, he's one of those guys that, you know, I was super high on when the Jets drafted him. I loved Elijah Moore coming out, and I was super encouraged by some of the stuff we saw in his rookie year. Then he just had an absolutely abysmal sophomore campaign. Obviously, they drafted Garrett Wilson, but unfortunately, they were rolling with Zach Wilson at quarterback, and it kind of just fell apart massively. It ended up with Elijah Moore getting shipped off to the Browns, which I think we were all a little bit unsure of, because sometimes when these young wide receivers don't work out on their first team, they don't really necessarily work out on their next team either. And the Browns just looked like a hot mess last year. They haven't looked amazing yet this year, but they're starting to show signs of life. They're looking better and better each week, I would say. And a couple of things about Elijah Moore. So he's actually played the 14th most snaps at the wide receiver position so far across the 3 weeks. So he's playing a lot of snaps, which is really encouraging. He's also getting a 24.5% target share. Now, it hasn't been a very big piece of the pie. They haven't been throwing loads. They haven't needed to. Their defense has been amazing. But that's a really nice size target share for somebody that we weren't sure what he was going to do. We weren't sure what was going to happen. And he's getting 35% targets per route run. So targets per route run, it's really just like an efficiency stat. It's looking at things like, you know, yeah, when he's out there, he might be out there running around, but how much is he actually getting targeted? So we already talked about Michael Pittman Jr. earlier about getting a 31% target share and a 48% targets per route run. So 48% being really good. That's up there with like Amon-Ra St. Brown. So 35% target per route run's not as good as that, but that's not, we're not like, I'm not saying you can go out and acquire Elijah Moore as your wide receiver one. My point is, I think you can get Elijah Moore as a post hype sleeper right now, because I think a lot of people got burned pretty badly. I mean, I got a lot of shares of Elijah Moore when I was really high on him, and I got burned pretty badly. But again, like I said, I try and stay water, try and stay fluid with my opinions on these players. And as situations change, you have to change with it. I'm pretty encouraged so far what I'm seeing about Elijah Moore. I mean, honestly, like I said, it's not like, oh my goodness, he's a smash every week starter so far for you. But this is the kind of player this time of year you have to go out and be looking for. You have to be looking for these players that haven't done it quite yet, but there's encouraging signs. Maybe they're running a lot of routes. Maybe they're on their field a lot. And so far, that is the story for Elijah Moore. I mean, the last, you know, all 3 weeks, he had 7 targets in week one. He had 9 targets in week two. And then he had another 9 targets in week three. So, you know, he's unfortunate. In the first 2 weeks, he only had 3 receptions. This last week, he had 9 receptions, only 49 yards, but that's why his value is still low. If he'd had 9 targets, 9 receptions for like 174 yards and 3 touchdowns, he'd be like the overpriced asset of the week. But I think you can try and sneak in there And if the manager who has Elijah Moore has had him for the last year or two, they might just be sitting him on the bench. And they might, again, if they're box score scouting and they're just looking at the overall points, they're saying 10 points, 7 points, 10 points, you know, nothing to write home about, nothing I'm rushing to shove in my lineup every week. You might be able to get Elijah Moore for wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 type prices. And he's somebody that is still young enough, still up and coming enough, still dynamic enough of a playmaker where there is a very real possibility, a real world where he could actually develop into your wide receiver 2 on your roster. I don't know that he'd ever be your wide receiver 1. That would be amazing. But I think there's a real chance where if he continues to develop chemistry with Deshaun Watson, if he stays healthy, things like that, I think there's a very real chance he could be one of those flashy kind of like mid to low end wide receiver 2 type players. And you could have gotten him for way cheaper than that. So those are the kind of players I think you need to be out thinking about. You need to be testing the waters on. You need to be like just seeing, you know, throwing out some maybe some low ball offers, not low balls in like trying to offend people or rip people off. But, you know, just like, yeah, here's, you know, my 3rd and Zach Moss, you know, for Elijah Moore, you know, something like that. You just never know what people are thinking. So these are the kind of guys that I would be maybe sniffing around and seeing what kind of deals you can get done. But one segment that we did not touch on last week because we ended up running a little bit long, a segment I really enjoy, a segment I need to get a drop for. I still haven't got a drop for. I need to get that sorted. I apologize. It's Let's Ride or Let's Hide. I'm pretty sure Mr. Russell Wilson wanted to hide last week, man. They got an absolute spanking from the Miami Dolphins. That was unbelievable. But Let's Ride or Let's Hide is, again, not doing too much like start sits and everything like that this year because, again, I want it to be relevant to as many dynasty managers as possible each and every episode. So this particular segment is just about kind of getting an idea of how I look at matchups, what I think about matchups, how I process matchups, and where I'm trying to find pieces, you know, for a matchup that I want to shove into my lineup, or maybe I'm like, ooh, I don't know about that. So that's where the Let's Ride or Let's Hide comes from. Again, because it's a solo pod, I'm just giving you 2 picks. For me, the Let's Ride is the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. I am so excited for this matchup. It has a 53.5 over under, which is nice. It's supposedly really good weather in Buffalo, so that's very nice. Dude, what's not to love? Like, the Miami Dolphins just dropped 70 points on the Denver Broncos. The Buffalo Bills, they look like they're back in form. I mean, this could quite easily be another 50-60 point game, which is lovely. You'll love to see it. So for me, I'm absolutely excited about this. I mean, I'm not going to take the chance and bench A-Chain again. I'd be rolling out A-Chain. I'd be rolling out Mostert. I'd be rolling out Tyreek Hill. Tua, you know, if Waddle makes it back and is active, I'm certainly rolling him out as well. And on the Buffalo side, you know, you're going to start your Josh Allen, you're going to start your Stephon Diggs, you're going to start your James Cook. Honestly, I mean, you'd probably start your Gabe Davis in this game with this set of circumstances. And depending on if it's like a, you know, a tight end premium kind of league, a deeper league, you might even throw out like your Dalton Kincaid. I know he had a bad week last week, but I reckon this could be an absolute score-a-palooza and everybody getting in on the action. So yeah, it's going to be a fun game. I mean, I am so excited for this game. Honestly, it's unbelievable. If on the other end of the spectrum for my Let's Hide, I can't really imagine being much less excited about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. It is only a 40.5 over under. So they're like skeptical about it even hitting 40 points. And that makes sense. I mean, you think about, you know, we talked about Derek Carr's injury. We got Jameis Winston. He's just as likely to throw 4 touchdowns as he is 4 interceptions. So you have no idea what's going to happen there. You've got Baker Mayfield. Ew. I mean, he's been playing all right, to be fair. I mean, to be fair, he has been playing decent so far this year. But my belief on Baker is just, it's just a matter of time. You know, give him enough rope and he'll hang himself, basically. So is this the game where he just turns into the old Baker and just starts chucking up, you know, absolute just disgusting balls that, you know, again, Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield, I mean, it could be like the interception off playoffs, you know, like who can get the most interceptions. It is a divisional matchup. I mean, these guys know each other really, really well. it could just be one of those gross, low-scoring games where, you know, there's three interceptions on both sides. It ends up 10-3 or something like that. I don't think it'll be that bad. But honestly, I mean, you're probably going to start your Mike Evans. You know, you're probably going to start your Chris Olave. You have to. You're probably going to throw out your Alvin Kamara. You know, if you've been holding on to him, you know, you've got him. You're probably going to throw him out there. So there are pieces that you're going to play, but I'm certainly not excited about them. I'm not like shoving them in my lineup, or I'm not making space for Michael Thomas. You know what I mean? I'm just like, if I have to, I'll start him depending on my options and how deep a league and how many flex spots there are, but certainly better matchups out there, I think, that you could look to kind of target. So there you have it. There's no point in doing word of the week this week because I would just be trying to trick myself. And it's, you know, it sounds pretty easy, but hey, I'm on to my tricks. I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong, as I always like to say. So hopefully you guys have not struggled too mightily with this episode. Hopefully you've been able to persevere to this one man episode. I do appreciate your time. Thank you for listening. If you do have time in your super busy lives and you could drop a rating and review on your favorite podcast listening platform, really helps the show, really helps me. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to send in any trade questions, any general dynasty questions that you might have, either through X stroke Twitter or on through dynastydebates@gmail.com. Have a great week four. Hopefully you all get those dubs and get some great trades in. We'll speak to you again next week.
I drive 0 RB in Dynasty. Pass up a young receiver? Nah, I couldn't be mean. My fifth wide receiver ran, it's only round 7. Not sure if I'm dead, cause I think this is heaven. Now forget what he said and listen to me. What you really wanna do is stack those RBs. You can be Linda, just let me be frank. Those RBs on your roster is money in the bank. One says it's awful, the other says it's great. It's time to buckle in for a dynasty debate.